Good morning again. Our Hebrew Bible lesson is found on page 7 in your pew Bible, and in the large print Bible, it's found on page 9. Maybe I have to open the Bible to be able to read it to you. I'm going to read Genesis 9, 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants, after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds upon the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to be destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all the flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh is on the earth." The word of God for the people of God. And now if you'll turn in your hymnal to page 757, we will together read Psalms 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Let none that wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are clothed with treachery. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and the testimonies. The word of God for the people of God. Thank you.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. It can be found on page 220 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along, or on page 284 in the larger print edition. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
May I offer you the opportunity now to rise as you are able for the reading of the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. If you're following along in the Pew Bible, it's on page 33 of the New Testament and in the large print edition on page 42. These words are familiar, but now they're in place and context as we move forward through Lent. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up from out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. The journey has begun and is well underway. This journey of Lent that began on Ash Wednesday will follow the footsteps of Jesus for 40 days from his baptism in the Jordan River ahead to his torture, crucifixion, and death on Calvary, and finally to his glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. Each of us will walk along with Jesus through these 40 days, alone at times with the Lord, and also, at least on Sunday mornings, we will walk together with each other and with Christ. Today's Bible lessons are full of wonderful images that can spark our imaginations. Noah and his family, and the thousands of creatures feeding on the dry land after their long wilderness journey on the flooded earth. And that lovely description of God's rainbow reminder of the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. Jesus rising up out of the Jordan River, as depicted on your bulletin cover, and a voice that came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And finally, Jesus out in the desert, surrounded by scrubby plants and rocks and sand, being tempted by Satan, yet persevering in his divine faith. These are all amazing images of God's grace for us to ponder. The 40 days of Lent in the church obviously represent the 40 days and nights that Jesus spent in the wilderness, so that this modern Lent may rightly be a wilderness journey for each of us. As you embark on your Lenten journey, let me offer a few points for you to consider. First, I want you to keep in mind that it was right after Jesus was baptized and anointed by God that the Holy Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. Now, I believe that all of us here have been baptized by God's unconditional love into the family of God's people. If you haven't been baptized, please let me know later. But since we have, we all share then in this connection of the sacrament of baptism with Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit drove Jesus into this actual wilderness in a time of temptation and testing. If you go to the Bible and read Matthew and Luke, you'll find a fuller description of Satan tempting Jesus. But I believe that Mark actually leaves us more to our imagination and to our reflection. But the question for you is this: what is the nature of the wilderness into which the Holy Spirit has driven you? What are the testings and the temptations that you are facing? Now, I know that some of you are widows or widowers who now face each day without the love of your life in a wilderness of loneliness and memories. Some of you are dealing with family members in the hospital, or loved ones facing addictions or difficult life situations like divorce or separation or alienation or job loss. Some of you may be in a crisis of faith, wondering where God is and why you have been abandoned by the Lord. Some of you may be struggling with addictions like pornography or alcohol or drugs or overwork. Some may be facing challenges of deteriorating mental or physical health. Some of you may be in a wilderness of apathy or are overwhelmed by the crazy state of our world. Temptations and testings, such is the life of all human beings. We have all been driven into a spiritual wilderness of one sort or another. Have you ever gone on foot into an actual wilderness, as did Jesus? Into the woods or onto the sea or into the desert? If you have taken a wilderness journey, then you probably can relate to the necessity of taking only that which is absolutely necessary for life. Food, water, shelter, protection. How then are we to respond when we are driven into the spiritual wilderness by the Holy Spirit? As baptized believers in Jesus Christ, we can turn to the power of the vows of our baptism for these necessities of survival. If you think back, you may well remember a few weeks ago, on the occasion of the baptism of the Lord, when we had the congregational reaffirmation of the baptismal covenant. Do you remember the last time we had the font out here? On that Sunday, I asked you this question. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? This is the threefold approach that we must take in order to prepare ourselves to follow Jesus into this spiritual wilderness. First, you must renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness in the world. Second, you must reject the evil powers of this world. And finally, you must repent of your sin. That sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? Well, you're absolutely right. This is a difficult calling. Renounce, reject, and repent. But these are your marching orders as you embark on this Lenten journey. As difficult as this clearly sounds, there are two elements in place that clearly sway the balance in our favor. First, and most importantly, we have the Holy Spirit of Christ along with us every step of the way of our spiritual wilderness journey. Secondly, if you refer back to the description of Jesus' time in the wilderness, you should notice one important detail. Scripture says he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Jesus was not truly alone in the wilderness, and neither are we. We have each other as Christian sisters and brothers to share with, to lean on, and to learn from as we travel the spiritual path. You and I can serve as angels for each other. When your spiritual journey is difficult, as it no doubt will be, you do well to go back and read the encouraging words of Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. God's paths always make any journey more manageable. When we consider these various wilderness journeys of Noah and that ark full of animals, of Jesus in the desert, and of you on your own path, we can begin to understand that it is God's plan to save us through water because of God's incredible, unconditional love. Originally, as you heard in Genesis, God destroyed all the people of the earth by water, except for Noah and his family, because of the horrific sinfulness of our human nature. But then, God reconciled us to Himself by saving Noah and all the other creatures from the floodwaters and by making a new promise in the rainbow. I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth." Peter then connects the salvation of Noah through the floodwaters with the absolute salvation of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we experience through the water of baptism. Let me read that passage to you again. "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." My friends, Jesus led the way through the wilderness of temptation and sin and death. We are saved through the water of baptism and through the love of Christ. Our 40-day Lenten journey is now well underway. And as we walk with Christ, we are called to renounce, reject, and repent. Jesus emerged unscathed from his 40-day journey through the wilderness to live and ultimately to die for us. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." This, my sisters and brothers, is the message of grace for every day of Lent and for every day of your life. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Amen.